everyone, Brian here from Franchise Simply. Great to have you along for another Franchise Radio Show. Delighted to have you here. And I just remind you, as always, you need to have a pen and paper ready, I think, because there'll be a few bits and pieces that I think you'll find worthy of making a note of. And today I've got a very interesting visitor that I'm interviewing, Helen Alpha. She's the National Membership Manager of the Franchise Council of Australia with a fascinating background, which is why we've called today's interview Healthy, Wealthy and Wise, Health, Wellness and the Fitness Industry Franchise Fireside Chat. So here we go. Let's gather around the barbecue if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, or the fire if you're in the North, and get going. So look, Helen, if you don't know Helen, she's a highly motivated business leader. She's got an amazing track record in small business development and particularly in franchising. She started a career in health and fitness and wellness over 35 years ago, heavily involved in the weight loss industry and the fitness industry. So she was a sales manager and a group fitness instructor, and she owned a gym franchise for 6 years. So she's been right amongst it on the coalface, as it were. And she sold the club actually to a large fitness chain. More recently, she was the national franchise manager with Fernwood Women's Health Clubs, one of the most successful health clubs in the country, without a doubt. And she was responsible for their franchise development and growth. And as in her current role as national membership manager for the Franchise Council of Australia, she spends her days working closely with franchisors and franchisees and service providers and so on across some of Australia's biggest and some of their smallest and newest emerging franchise brands. So she's got a viewpoint across the spectrum. Helen, lovely to have you along today. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Brian. It's great to be here.
I'm really looking
by the fire.
Yeah, around the fire. it certainly is. They're talking about record temperatures here on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, we'll just wrap up and just use your imagination. So maybe you can just share a little bit more of your background, your story, Helen, because it is a fascinating one, and I think it's a great value. Irrespective of whether our listeners are in the franchise industry or not, I think it's learning little bits and pieces from everyone we talk to. I get so much feedback about the value, just the relevant points that people make that apply to any business, in fact, any person and anyone's fitness as well when it comes to that, which we're all very, very conscious of these days, thankfully. So, but far away, you've got the floor.
Yeah, sure. I 35 years ago, I started by being, fit, loving, going to gyms. And then one day I decided that, I'd teach aerobics, as it were, all that long ago, and started working in health clubs, and then thought, this is where I want to be. So left corporate work and started working in the gyms, managing gyms, etc. for other people, and loved it so much that when the opportunity came up in 2008 to own my own club with some business partners that were also working in the fitness industry, we sort of searched high and low for the best brand, franchise brand at the time, and felt that, Genesis was the right fit. And I guess the difference was it going to be Helen's Health and Fitness Club or part of a franchise branding and chain? And so, of course, we chose that because we knew we were experts in the field, but we didn't really have systems, procedures, branding, all the things that make a successful business. So we opened up Genesis Camberwell and grew from 0 members to 4,000 members in a few years. Loved every minute of it, and loved the fact that I was part of a national brand as well as, personalizing the club, with my, personal touches. But, at the end of the day, marketing, all of those things were pretty much systemized and organized. So that's what I loved, about it. Then sold that to a large fitness chain. And then after that, really loved the franchise side of things. So got into another franchise brand, they're called Hypoxy, so weight loss studios. And then from there, I met Di Williams and really wanted to work for Fernwood Women's Health Clubs, over 33 years franchising experience there. And you said, one of the leading franchise chains, Brian. So definitely I loved every minute of that, 70 plus clubs. And really my role was, the growth of the brand. And I could honestly say, you know, 80% of the franchisees there are so passionate and successful as well. And average stay is 14 years.
Wow.
For the franchisees.
That's twice the average. That's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep. Average is 14 years.
Well, certainly I've met Di a number of times and she's very passionate. Mm. A brilliant case study for anybody looking at how to start and grow and maintain in the long term a successful franchise group. I think she's a lovely person. She's so committed. And the fact that you've had all that experience with her as well as your other background as well makes you so well qualified to talk to and for the role you fill with the Franchise Council Australia. I know you've been very active with them in any event, you know, state chapters and that sort of thing. So bearing in mind, talk about health and wellness, you know, and fitness, it covers such a broad range these days, but what's something that you see that's unique about that area?
Well, I guess, you know, the health and wellness, you know, industry is huge, and certainly everyone needs to exercise, you know, everyone needs to train and everyone needs a space that they can, you know, be themselves and do their own thing. And I guess that's why the industry is so widespread. You know, you've got gyms, you've got weights, you've got personal trainers, you've got group classes. And now coming into the forefront, you've got all the health and wellness, you know, from your Pilates to yoga, meditation. We're now seeing rehabilitation clubs opening up, stretching, and, you know, just general wellness clubs. So I guess they're for everybody. And it's just a matter of people choosing which one, you know, suits them best. Some people like to be on their own. Some people like part of a group setting. But yeah, we can't get away from the fact that we all need, you know, time out. We all need to exercise, not just our bodies, but our minds.
And that brings me round to an area. I know a number of clubs that I'm familiar with the owners that, and they had a very testing time during COVID. It's sort of weird, but what's your take on the impact of COVID on the, you know, on the fitness industry overall, Helen?
Yes, well, yes, COVID, I guess, disseminated our industry completely. You know, we weren't allowed to operate, full stop. And especially if you're in Victoria, things were definitely worse than all the other states. But the thing that I did see, that a lot of the fitness industry grew during COVID as well. And I do sort of preface that with the franchise brands were certainly stronger because they did have, you know, like strength in numbers. A lot of franchise brands also own, like the franchisor holds the head lease. So certainly bargaining power on rents, landlords, etc., was greater. And also the industry had to get out of their bricks and mortar and move to, you know, the apps, videos, fitness on demand, etc., which is, it just boomed during that time. And a lot of the clubs also were successful in charging for that component as well. So rather than having $0 going in because no one could walk into a gym or wellness center, there was the opportunity of that, you know, fitness on demand and videoing and apps, you know, going on. So I guess my overall view, and from what talking to all the fitness industry now, most of them got through COVID quite well.
Mm.
And are back on track and growing, right, you know, as we speak.
Yeah, and we've seen quite a bit of a change from my observations anyway, as an outsider to the industry, subsequent to COVID. There has been enormous growth. It staggers me. It's a bit like coffee shops, you know, back 15 years ago. And I don't think I'm going to help another coffee shop franchise, not because I don't love doing it, but I think the market's saturated. But that's not true. It's still happening. I'm getting inquiries, you know, even right now. So I think fitness has been the same. It's astounding, just the growth. But also the model's changed, hasn't it? From the big gymnasiums, you know, that came here from Europe, from the UK, for example. But now we're seeing a very different model evolve. Explain that to people, because I think it's a principle of smaller models. So you've got, it's a bit like looking at Woolies. You've got the big Woolies supermarkets, hundreds of square meters, if not thousands, and then you get their metros. So you get the little compact ones, which I gather would be, they're actually focusing a lot on those growths. And it's a bit similar in the health industry, isn't it? It's the smaller models that seem to be attracting more attention and more growth these days. What's your view from the inside?
I certainly agree with you from what you're saying. And Woolies is a good example, maybe not now these days, but it is a good example in that it's the convenience. So, you know, I use the Metro ones because we're here in the city and, you know, you want to just go in and out and get what you want and leave. And I guess the smaller footprint clubs are like that as well, you know, like your BFTs, KX Pilates. You're going in there, you're doing the class and you're leaving and you've had a full workout and you've been amongst a whole group of people as well that are all, you know, similar minded and, you know, enjoying themselves. So, yes, that smaller footprint for convenience, 24 hours, like, you know, just about every club's 24/7 these days. And although the big box clubs are still there and, you know, people still love them because they are a bit of a one-stop shop, the smaller ones are the movers and shakers, and they're the ones, most of them are franchised, and they're the ones that are in a big growth period, not just here in Australia, but now they're expanding Asia Pacific, you know, Canada, UK as well, you know, just expanding everywhere, everywhere really. So some examples, like I said, BFT, KX Pilates, City Cave is another one that's expanding. Recovery Lab. So for them, they're smaller footprints, less rent, easier to find, you know, those sort of spaces as well, and less staff and overheads. So from a business perspective, definitely are trimming, you know, what a larger concept would be spending.
Yeah, can we just dig a bit deeper there? Because it's interesting, the fact this smaller concept seems to be taking off, but also seems to be growing very successfully and rapidly internationally from Australia. Is it attracting a different sort of entrepreneur, the franchisor of these smaller sort of footprint models? Do they come from a different background to the traditional sort of developers of fitness chains and so on?
It's probably a big mixture. I'm seeing a lot of families buying franchises now. So the mum and dad, or, you know, parents buying for their kids' future, because being a small business, it's easier to manage. If they're a franchise, that's the bonus, because systems, procedures, payroll, you know, all of those difficult things all streamlined and systemized for you. So I have got a good example of Bruce McFarlane. He's, you know, been in franchising for 25 years as a lawyer. And just recently he bought two recovery labs for his kids to run so that they could experience small business. And so a recovery lab is, you know, like the rehabilitation. So they use those cold ice baths, compression boots, you know, yeah, all of those things. But, you know, he definitely saw merit in that he's a small franchise brand that's health and wellness, so good for everybody, that, you know, my kids can take on, manage and learn about small business and have a high chance of success.
Yes, it's an interesting model, and one we've seen, you know, to the forefront from time to time over the years. I certainly remember back in the 90s, we saw quite a few people like that. You know, people would organise a franchise, a service franchise, perhaps something like that, for their children to really cut their teeth in business. And then after 3 or 4 years, they might sell that and step into something larger, often start their own franchise group. So when we look at that span, it's an interesting one. It's one for people, I think, to note across the board, whatever sort of business you've got, if you're a franchisor, maybe your demographic is a bit broader than you're thinking. You know, does your copy, does your promotion actually, does it align for someone who's looking for an investment for their family? Because it's a very different approach, I think. So that's an interesting one for people to be conscious of, I think. And it broadens the market, doesn't it? The other thing is, you know, anyone in business is becoming pretty tired of all the legislation, and that's pretty common around the world. But I think in Australia, we seem to be getting the brunt of it. But so business, small business is becoming more and more difficult. It's just too intimidating, too complicated, too much time on admin. So really, it's offering more and more attraction for business owners to move into a franchise rather than try and handle all this all this documentation and admin that's needed today. So it's another good point, I think, when you're promoting your franchise model to the marketplace as a franchisor. You know, as you said a number of times, it was the systems that appealed to you.
Yeah.
You could perform the necessary exercises, you could run the classes to a degree, but having those systems so you've got a foolproof sort of process is just critically important. So that's interesting. So another thing, I'm curious as to why do you think it is that these groups that are growing, emanating from Australia, are being taken up so readily internationally across fairly broad demographics around the world? What do you see as the reason for that from an insider's point of view, Helen?
So I see, you know, the ones that are successful here in Australia, and our, you know, code of conduct is one of the strictest in the world, you know, with its, you know, full laws. And obviously we're going through a review now, but we've got the strictest franchising laws, you know, in the world. So I guess for us, our systems are geared towards, you know, everything that should be done and how it's done. So in order to replicate that, like at the moment, there's quite a few branching out to Canada. And I know, you know, the KX group are branching out to Canada, and their laws are, you know, half of what we've got here in Australia. So it's just easier. But the good thing is we're bringing best practice to those other countries as well. So I think that's the, you know, the interest and the growth. So, you know, BFT is growing in the UK at the moment. I think, you know, there's quite a few looking like in the Middle East as well. Mm. So, you know, I mean, Asia Pacific's huge for a lot of them at the moment too. I just think it's, yeah, best practice here in Australia and being able to replicate it overseas.
Yeah, and timing's good, isn't it? I mean, everything's about timing, really. You can have the best product in the world and the most attractive investment offers, but it's all about timing. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. And it is emerging, as you say, in Asia, in the Middle East, and so forth. The fact that people are becoming more conscious of health and actually taking action in that area. We know that already, you know, Europe, North America, you know, the principles of health and fitness are well known, although it's also well known that there are a horrific number of people who've had their head in the sand. But I think that's beginning to change. So, yeah, that's interesting to hear that. So I wonder what other Indian, I'm not asking you a question here, I'm just thinking aloud. I wonder what other sectors in the franchise area are poised for growth with those sorts of opportunities. I know one of our delightful customers, Earworks, have got a number of clinics around Australia and grown very successfully.
Yes.
We're working with them currently looking at Canada. And from their point of view, it's a shoo-in because from as far as they see it, it's very simple to establish. They reckon they could be up and running in Canada in a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's stunning, isn't it? It just goes.
Amazing.
And funny enough, the demographic in Canada is very similar to here in a lot of ways, but there are a number of ways the opportunities are particularly special because there's limited experience in some areas in places like Canada and even in some areas of the States. So it's interesting to see those trends coming. So the other thing I think that you saw very much on the inside, and the health industry is one that's perhaps been one of the leaders in this, is multi-outlet franchisees. Mm. What have you seen? What observations you've got about that, Helen, from the view?
Well, I mean, it's, in the fitness industry, it's huge at the moment in that, you know, that you start off as a one site owner, and then once you become successful and know the systems and procedures of it, it's very easy to duplicate as well. So from a franchisor's perspective, it's actually also easier to find your next, you know, site to set up if you've got the existing franchisee going to do it. And obviously, you know, from funding and that sort of a thing, the fact that you've got one successful franchise, you know, with over 2 years, you know, profits, etc., then it's easier to, you know, get loans to get your second one. And we were finding in Fernwood that, you know, we had 2, 3, 4, 5 multi-site owners. And so that was building the culture quite greatly within as well, because it also showed, you know, the retention, but also just people believing, you know, that this was the right system, you know, and franchise and business, small business to be in. And a lot of them were doing it for their families too, which is, you know, what I said. But it's not just fitness. You know, I've noticed, you know, with being with the Franchise Council that, you know, the quick service retail, so, you know, your Boost juices, Noodle Box, you know, those sort of ones, they're all multi-unit sites. And so we do run once a year that multi-unit summit, which is huge. And that is directed at franchisees that own more than one site so that they can network and learn from each other, you know, how they're duplicating themselves.
This is the way to growth, you know, and you know, we look to North America a lot for franchising. Not that we're going to necessarily copy what they do, but if we look at their experience and the fact that multi-units are a dominant part of franchising over there, because it stands to reason, far easier to put a new franchisee in who's already established in another franchise outlet from a franchisor's point of view. So this has come up in our conversation a little bit already, but What would you say to someone who's got an emerging franchise group that's saying, look, one of my ambitions is to get multi-unit owners? What would you say would be the criteria for one of their franchisees before they allowed them to expand into a multi-unit? Because you don't want to go off too soon. You've got to really, really be comfortably in control of what you've got, understand all the processes. So what would you say would be the sort of, let's call it the apprenticeship, if you like, before they're, you should consider them.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Brian. That's exactly what you have to have. You have to have criteria, because otherwise you could be setting them up for failure. So, you know, setting up just like you do when you've got a brand new franchisee where, you know, they've got to tick all the boxes, you know, as far as, you know, the first box would be the success in your first franchise, but also, you know, like all the systems and procedures and financially, where they're at. You know, you don't want them to overborrow either. So, yeah, you've got to have full interview set up. And I know we did it at Fernwood as well, where, you know, it was a full, it's with Di, you know, herself, full interview to ascertain, can they sustain a second club? Because although, it is easier, you also don't want to be setting up people for failure, because sometimes, yeah, you get excited. Wow, this is working. Just let's do it again, you know, and let's do it again. And then all of a sudden you're stretched, you know, over three sites, and it can be very challenging. So I guess the franchisor is the one that needs to have the criteria and the steps in place, you know, the financials in place and transparency, I guess.
So just having that bit of patience to wait till they're ready. Don't go off soon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I've enjoyed our chat. I think I've been through my questions I have scribbled down. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't touched on at this point?
For me, yeah, because, I mean, my passion is the, you know, the fitness and, you know, fitness franchising, but really it's looking at the fitness industry and its growth is probably my passion, because it's for everybody. And now there are so many different, you know, options out there. I'd just like to see everybody, you know, training or floating, you know, these days, you know, at your city caves, you know, like even that's a thing now, that's all people do is go to the, you know, floating, you know, massages, meditation, just looking at all different ways that for our mental health, we can escape for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and spend time. You can be with yourself or as part of a group, you know, of like-minded people. But as far as small business goes, you know, that is my passion. It doesn't matter what the industry is. You know, I've had my own businesses, one being franchised, another wasn't. I did have a restaurant for a few years. And, you know, it's tough when you're setting up the systems, and, you know, and you're trying to do both. You're trying to do front of house, but you've also got to take care of, you know, the back end as well. But yeah, I applaud anybody that gives it a go and, you know, share your successes, become part of networks. And I guess that's why the Franchise Council exists. You know, we are a membership-based organisation. So we exist because of our members. And you know, member benefits is at the forefront of ours. And I know, Brian, yeah, you've been around way longer than me in franchising. So, you know, you think you know it all, but we don't. But you just got to share and, you know, make sure that we all benefit from each other. You know, I think the community, the small business community is strong.
Yeah, and certainly in franchising, I certainly advocate, as obviously is your role to do, is anyone in the franchise sector really having a close look at with a view to becoming involved in the Franchise Council of Australia. Sure. There's so much to learn. And as I'm sure you'd know, if you listened to me, to any of my previous conversations, you know, the unselfishness in the way that people in the sector share advice to people and so forth is just extraordinary. So, okay, well, just like to wrap up then, Helen. Thanks very much indeed for our fireside chat, stroke barbecue conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
I look forward to seeing you fairly soon at one of the meetings, and hope to get back to chatting with you on another occasion as well. So thanks very much for your time today. Hope everyone's enjoyed listening to Helen and her experiences. Any questions at all, Helen, where can people contact you?
Helen.alpha@franchise.org.au.
Okay.
Or simply ring the Franchise Council of Australia direct number.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I'll share that with everybody. So if you want to contact Helen and say she's certainly available through franchise.org.au. And otherwise, contact me. I can always put you in touch. So thanks very much again. Thanks, everyone. Look forward to catching up with you again with our next Franchise Radio Show.
Thank you, Brian. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.